everybody, and welcome back to the highly awaited return of the Bills Wire podcast, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. You can find us on Twitter at the Bills Wire, on Facebook at Bills Wire. My name is Kyle Selagi. I am the managing editor of Bills Wire, which is a bit of a change from the last podcast. As you know, Rob Quinn was with us, but he's no longer with the site. We wish Rob the best in his future endeavors. He's a great, talented writer, and we know that he will succeed in whatever he looks to do next. So, but we decided that we want to keep the podcast going here as we enter the a new era of Bills Wire. So like I said, I'm Kyle Selagi. I'm the managing editor, and today I am joined by three of our staff writers, one of which you've heard from before, and the other two are new. So joining me today is Justin DeLauro, who's been with us for about a year now. Justin, how are you?
Doing very well tonight. I'm looking forward to the new era coming in as we usher in a brand new quarterback who will be able to throw the ball accurately and over the middle.
Oh, Tyrod's been gone a month, and we're still getting bad Tyrod takes.
That's true.
We also have a new writer, Jeremy Uhas. Jeremy, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate that. Seems like a new era at Bills Wire and a new era for the Bills here coming up shortly.
Absolutely. And then we have Nick Wotan, formerly of Buffalo Football Beat, now of the Bills Wire. Nick, why'd you join Bills Wire? We don't want you.
Good question. I'll get back to you on the next podcast.
You just have to keep listening. Just kidding, Nick. You're a great writer. We have a great team over here at Bills Wire. 2018 NFL Draft. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Draft is 2 days away. In fact, 48 hours from now, we will probably know who the Bills franchise quarterback is, which is exciting to say the least. Today on Bills Wire, we decided to all put together our mock drafts, our team of six total writers. We decided to all put together our full seven-round mock drafts. So we've assembled this small podcast team of obviously myself, Justin, Jeremy, and Nick, and we're going to run over our mock drafts. Moving forward, the podcast probably aren't going to have four people, just because four people in a podcast, it's a lot to cram in, but we're doing it for this one-time special edition where we're all going to talk about our mock drafts and why our mock drafts are all perfect and why nobody else's are 100% accurate. So we're going to get started in round one. And so for my first pick for the Bills, I have them trading up to number five with Denver to select quarterback Josh Rosen out of UCLA. There's been rumors recently that the Bills they've already checked in with the Broncos regarding the availability of the fifth pick. And if Rosen's there at five, I think he'd be a steal. Only if Baker Mayfield isn't there, because Baker Mayfield's my quarterback one. I just think he's best all-around probably quarterback in this draft. But I think that he's going to New York at three. I don't think he's falling past the Jets. So if Rosen is there at five, which I do believe that he will be, I could see Brandon Bean checking in with the Broncos again and landing the draft's best pure passer. Justin, you do not have the Bills selecting Josh Rosen at one. Who do you have them taking?
I have them taking Sam Darnold. I'm going under the assumption, I'm kind of going out on the limb a little bit, I'm going to say that the Browns are going to take Josh Allen number one, and it's just going to be chaos and bedlam from there. I believe the Bills are going to use a bunch of assets to trade back, or trade forward rather, excuse me, with Cleveland. We'll be giving them both of our firsts, that third rounder that we originally got for Tyrod Taylor. We're going to give that back to Cleveland, and then we're going to give next year's first to get that number four spot. And I just have a feeling that Sam Darnold's going to be the best option there. I absolutely love Josh Rosen, but for some reason I just have this inkling that somebody's going to try and jump in and get ahead of him. I feel like Mayfield could go third, but I also see possibility of Rosen going there. So I'm going a little off my original board, and I'm going to say that USC's Sam Darnold will be coming out east.
Yeah, if Darnold's there at four, where you have the Bills trading up to grab him, I say take him. I think that, I mean, he's probably prototypically the best quarterback in this draft, just because he's got the size that you look for in a franchise guy, got the arm strength, he's got the mobility. Kind of a more polished Josh Allen, in my opinion. But the thing is, I don't think he drops to four. I like Rosen better than I like Darnold, but I think Darnold's he's got a pretty high ceiling. I know Colin Coward says that he has the floor of Andrew Luck, which is, I mean, if your floor is Andrew Luck, I will take you.
It's, yeah.
But I think he goes one to Cleveland. I don't think he drops past. And if he does go to, or if he does drop to the Giants, I think the Giants are taking him there. At least that's been the rumor.
I think a bigger shock would be if a bigger shock than Allen going would be Darnold falling past two, in my opinion.
I agree with that. And imagine if Cleveland just shocks everybody and goes Baker Mayfield at one.
Yeah.
That changes the entire draft, because, I mean, that's New York's presumptive pick right out of there. I mean, the Jets, sorry. Well, there's two New York teams back-to-back, but, I mean, you're leaving New York there with Sam Darnold or Josh Allen. Now, they have to make the big choice. The Giants do. And then the Jets have to take the leftovers. What if they don't like Darnold? What if they, like, didn't do any scouting on Darnold because they didn't see him dropping to three? It's just, that really throws a wrench into the entire draft.
Yeah, that would be the biggest wrench I think you could find right there. I think it's going to be Darnold number one, though. Even though we just broke down a bunch of possibilities here, boys, I think it's just going to be Darnold straight away number one. I'm pretty set on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw it at the pro day at Sam Darnold's, probably a pretty rainy day, and the Browns owner Jimmy Haslam with Sam Darnold's parents. I know it's just a photo, but to me that was kind of all I needed to see. Their interest in him has been pretty high up. He's kind of the consensus, as you said, Kyle, the number one prototypical guy, youngest guy in the class too, so he has so much upside, and it would be kind of surprising to me if Darnold doesn't go one.
I absolutely agree with that. Now, Jeremy, I know that you are incredibly high on Josh Allen, more so than any of us are here. You wrote a whole piece on it, and it was a very good piece. And you had me thinking for a second. I was like, is there something I'm not seeing here with Allen? What am I missing here? But you do not have us trading up for Josh Allen. Instead, you have us trading up for my quarterback one.
Yeah, I do, and that's just because I assume that either at number three or number one, either the Jets would take Josh Allen at number three if he was still on the board, or possibly taking Rosen as well. He's been another guy rumored to the Jets, along with Mayfield. It seems like every team has been rumored with every QB, but that was kind of the assumption I was making. So I have the Bills trading up to number five with the Broncos and taking Baker Mayfield. I think the Bills have done their homework on him, seen him at Combine, private workout, hosted him, and their interest in kind of getting to know Baker through the whole draft process is the reason why I think if Allen and Darnold are off the board, I think they would prefer Mayfield over Rosen. So that's kind of the direction I leaned with my first pick at number five. I have the Bills giving up their two second-round picks almost back-to-back, 53 and 56, and then next year's first as well, which seems like a lot to give up. The reason I threw the first in next year is because Denver will try to counter that back with giving us a 2019 fourth-rounder. And I think the Bills will need to do that because teams like Miami, Arizona want to move up. And we all know, too, that Denver seems to like Baker Mayfield a lot. And you might need to entice them to move out of that spot. So it's a lot to give up. But I think in that scenario, that's the logic I went with in round one for the Bills moving up to grab him.
Yeah, if your mock does play out, they are able to grab Mayfield and then they keep on, or they hold on to that second first round pick, that would be incredible. Because as I said, I love Baker Mayfield. But the only thing with the Bills' interest in Baker Mayfield that's a bit putting me off, that thinking that it might be a bit of a smokescreen, is they've had four documented meetings with him. It's just they haven't had any any issues hiding that. They've just let it get out in the open. Like, yeah, we've met with this guy four times. I don't know. I mean, there hasn't been, like, that number of documented meetings with an Allen or a Rosen or a Darnold. There's just been the private workout. So, I mean, that scares me a bit. Maybe they want people to think that Mayfield's their guy. So they jump up and then surprise people with a Rosen or something. But I don't know. Maybe their interest in Mayfield is genuine, and that would be fantastic, because I think that he's just, you know, maybe not the highest floor in the draft, but I think his ceiling's right up there with a Josh Allen.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, the thing with the Bills that they really like, and you hear Brandon Bean talking about it all the time, is competitiveness. And, mm-hmm. You know, a guy that plays with a passion to win, and nobody in this class has that more than him. So I think I could see McDermott and Bean just falling in love with that competitive nature that Mayfield brings. And, yeah, that comes with a little, you know, even on the field, off the field issues that he's had, but I could just see them falling in love with that competitive nature that he would bring.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Now, Nick, you are on Team Rosen as well. You have them trading up to pick number 6 with Indianapolis, one pick lower than I foresee them trading up to, than Jeremy foresees them trading up to. But you do have them taking Rosen. What's your logic there?
Well, I think just recently, you know, for whatever reasons, I'm sure it's the agents throwing stuff out there, it just seems like Rosen's stock is dropping. And tonight there was the ESPN NFL Nation mock draft that they had. My pal Mike Rodak was there at number 12. Nobody changed a pick or traded up or anything, but he took Allen at 12 and Rosen fell all the way to 11. So even the ESPN guys are saying that a couple of these guys are falling, but my reasoning for that is I think the way I can see it playing out is Darnold 1, as we already touched on, and then I think the Giants seem surprisingly set on Saquon Barkley at number 2. I think Mayfield to the Jets, I mean, the polarizing figure that he's been throughout the draft process. How am I a Bills reporter and I forgot the word process? But Mayfield to the Jets seems like one of those just, you know, natural fits right there. I think Cleveland's going to jump over to defense at 4 and maybe go with Chubb. And then at 5, of course, we talked about the Broncos maybe trading back. I can see them maybe trading back, maybe with Arizona, maybe with the Bills. But I think Allen could be the guy there. I just saw Mike Mayock today actually said that if the Cardinals trade up, they want Josh Allen. So I think he could be the guy there. And I think Allen could be even a John Elway type of guy. I mean, a bigger athletic guy who can kind of do it all, if you will. Do it all with people that have the highest ceiling. I can see John Elway like him. And as I said, I think past then, I mean, the Bills should not want to get caught sleeping behind the wheel here. And even if Arizona trades up at 5, you got to get up there. I mean, you never know what could happen if some other team could hop up there. And I have my trade. I don't have the biggest blockbuster here. I have the Bills sending both of their first round picks and Indy sending that number 6 pick back. And they're also sending, I believe, a 4th-round pick to the Bills. So a 2-for-2 deal. In my description underneath my mock, I kind of explained that how the Jimmy Johnson system is set up. It has the Bills losing about a draft pick value worth about a 2nd-round pick. I think, you know, Brandon Bean's going to use that to his advantage when, you know, discussing with the Colts the how this trade's going to play out here, if it plays out. And I think the Bills are probably pretty confident in their ability to hit mid-round hits. I mean, Deion Dawkins is a second-round pick, but now all of a sudden he's their anchor on the offensive line after all these injuries. Of course, you got Matt Milano there. So I think Brandon Bean's going to welcome maybe a fourth-round pick or something like that. But the Bills are still losing something, I think, pretty hefty. And I think someone else mentioned in their trade, maybe it was Jeremy, sending the Bills' future first-round pick there. I think the Bills are going to do everything they can to avoid that just because I think, you know, everyone's on agreement that they're going to get a quarterback and they're going to get a quarterback high. And, of course, they made the playoffs last year, but you got to envision that pick is going to be a pretty good one next year. And I don't think Brandon Bean's going to want to lose that at all, at anything necessary. So that's where I am with it. I think that's a good deal for both sides. And, yeah, I just think I'm with you, Kyle, on Team Rosen. Then premier ready passer right away, and look no further than the Bills roster. You got McCarron, and you got Peterman. Rosen can certainly come in and win that battle.
Oh, absolutely. And I totally agree that trading the 2019 first now would be an awful move, just because this roster isn't all that good. And I saw a lot of schedule predictions when the schedule came out, and they were like, all right, 8-8 if we have Peterman or McCarron, but then 10-6 if we get a franchise passer. It's like, that's not typically how the whole rookie quarterback thing works out. You have to give him some time to develop into the role. I think that's why they signed McCarron, because I don't think that they're necessarily planning on starting a rookie next year, unless McCarron just bombs in preseason and training camp and Peterman doesn't do much better, then it's just kind of, all right, what do we have to lose by starting the rookie? He's ready to go. But I like what you said about Rosen's stock falling as well, because that's just been a weird story to follow here in the pre-draft process with, in the season, it was kind of, you know, Darnold and Rosen were 1A and 1B. And then Mayfield was just kind of he's doing really well, but he's not going to translate to the NFL. So it was kind of Rosen and Darnold who were looked at as the two top passers. But then just in this pre-draft season, we've seen Allen shoot to the top again. His hype kind of died down in the season because he was just playing just slightly above average, not all too well. And then Rosen, these character issues have just popped up out of nowhere, because he was born in Southern California. And Nick, I think you wrote in an article a while ago, just like, he has other interests than football. It's like, how can you fault a guy for not just being interested in football?
How dare him?
He's too smart, too well-rounded. It's just, it's too much for some people to handle.
Yeah, I understand a little bit of the injury concerns. He had a couple concussions, I believe. But at the same time, you look at the offensive line that was in front of him. I mean, you hear the reports as well, rebuffing the fact that his offensive line just kind of fell apart. Kind of similarly to the way that the Bills' offensive line has fallen apart this offseason, which is maybe not a good sign if you're going to go after Rosen. You got to get a couple more bodies in front of him. But, just the talent that was around him, the ability to protect him, and then, wow, what a jerk for having other interests in life.
Yeah, like I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and it was either Kyle Brandt or Peter Schrager, but they said, like, I'm going to have this guy in my roster when the 2020 presidential election rolls around. What is he going to say to the media? It's like, why? Why is this a thought? I don't think this should be, it's crazy.
It's the extraneous baloney that people get caught up in, and it's ridiculous. If he throws 35 touchdowns, they'll let him, like, do whatever at the White House. It doesn't matter. It's frustrating that it's such a narrative, but it's what's become of sports journalism in the 24-hour cycle and things that have to be filled, so.
Yeah, I think it's very much like an old-school football type thing, too.
See
all these general managers are, you know, I mentioned John Elway, former player. He's probably going to back off Rosen because, you know, John Elway was one of the best athletes around. You know, he could have played baseball too. So he's going to say, you know, Josh Rosen's a bad guy because he, you know, has political takes and whatever. It's just, you know, obviously I think it looks like we're all on board that that's kind of ridiculous.
If Rosen does get us to the spot in a few years where he's talking about the Bills going to the White House and he has to make that decision of if he's going to the White House or not, I will be extremely happy, because that means that the Bills have succeeded. So, Jeremy, you are the only other person who has the Bills selecting again in the first round. Who do you have them taking?
Yeah, I have them taking cornerback Mike Hughes out of Central Florida. I just think with Vontae Davis on a one-year deal, maybe his coming off of injury, not sure what you're going to get. You hope he's fully healthy going into the next year. You know, Mike Hughes, I think also I mentioned this too, writing up that he's, you know, just cornerbacks in general are overdrafted sometimes. He might be a later first round pick or early second round pick, but I think he's shown enough ability and kind of risen up a few draft boards. I think as a corner, he'd be nice in that secondary to pair with Tre'Davious White long term. And you can never have too many corners going up against Brady in this division. So I think that would be a great fit for McDermott's defense. And, yeah, keeping that second pick, I also kind of figured Vander Esch, that linebacker from Boise State, would be gone. A couple other guys would have been off the board that you could think could make a difference. So I went with Mike Hughes there at 22. And I think, you know, I agree with you guys. I do think that Brandon Bean is going to try and keep that pick for next year. I don't think that the Bills necessarily are anticipating a 11-5, 12-3, you know, division winning season next year. So that pick is going to be very valuable for them. But I just think that they gained all of these assets for this to move up. And if they have a chance to go up and get their guy, whether that's at 5, 6, 4, because I think we're probably all in agreement, right, that they're probably not going to get to 2. So,
right.
Yeah, whatever they need to do, though, I think, you know, parting with next year's first, whether they want to or not, whether it will hurt a little bit or not, that might be kind of the game changer if they're competing with a couple other teams to trade up. And, yeah, I also want to, before we wrap up the first round, Kyle, I was curious on everyone's take. You know, it was interesting. None of us stayed at 12. We all traded up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is none of us really talked about Lamar Jackson at all. And I think he's one of the more intriguing prospects from the quarterback position that we've probably seen in a while. And especially in this class, because you have all these kind of prototypical pocket guys and, you know, Mayfield having a great year, Heisman year. And then you have Lamar Jackson, won the Heisman before, who's kind of left out, and his mom's kind of his agent. So it's a really interesting player. And would you guys be, you know, interested if the Bills just stay put at 12 and was able to take him?
I think that at the very least, they're coming away with Lamar Jackson in the first round. I think that they've all the moves that they've made this offseason have led up to them picking a quarterback in the first round of the draft. Just, you know, basically filling their holes with stopgaps. I mean, Star Latulale, Trent Murphy, that's not really, they're not stopgaps. They're going to be around for a little bit, but that just completely eliminated their need on the defensive line. Prior to their signings, people were looking at Maurice Hurst or Vita Vea as potential targets in the first round. But now that's, you know, they'll take a defensive tackle on day 3 if they take one at all. Marcus Davenport was even a name that was talked about. Well, but with Trent Murphy, it's like Davenport's not going to get all that much time. And then wide receiver, Jeremy Curley. You know, they're filling their holes with capable players for 1 year, giving themselves the opportunity to draft them next year or sign bigger name free agents next year. So all their moves thus far have led to them picking a quarterback in the first round of the 2018 draft. And if they cannot move up, which I think they're going to try to do very aggressively, but if they cannot, I think if Lamar Jackson's there at 12, I think that he's going to there. I think Bean's going to be like, all right, we need a guy. So we'll settle for you, Lamar. Let's see if you can translate.
Yeah, I'm for Lamar Jackson. I just think the way just how things have been built up, I think the Bills are going to trade up, and it just seems like Lamar Jackson's not really in this stratosphere there, whether it has something to do with his mother being his agent, and he's not really hyped out there as much as these other guys are with agents, and they have Adam Schefter on speed dial type thing. But I just think that the Bills are set up to trade up right now, and that sort of just almost eliminates Lamar Jackson. I don't dislike him as a prospect, but I just think the way the Bills have it set up, that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, for sure. I think they definitely, for a year or more, have kind of prepared for Thursday night to be the night where they get their quarterback, or if they need to trade up, now they have the assets to do so. I was just curious on what you guys really thought about him as a player, because, you know, even back at the combine or earlier in the draft process, you know, it was leaked that one team had Jackson as the number 2 quarterback, and some speculation was it could be the Bills perhaps, and that would just be kind of a shocker if they traded up and selected Lamar Jackson. Like, that's not even a topic of discussion. We're talking about these four guys, not Mason Rudolph, not Lamar Jackson is the guy that they would pick. So it'll be interesting to see how the quarterbacks fall, because we don't know each team's boards, and maybe they have Lamar Jackson ranked higher than Josh Allen, or a little bit higher than a Baker Mayfield or something like that. And I think that's what's going to make Thursday so cool.
This is a scenario that I haven't really thought about that much, so I'm glad that you brought it up. But, like, if it gets to Thursday night and the Bills just shock everybody, don't trade up, take, like, a Roquan Smith at 12, and then trade up from 22 and grab Lamar Jackson, I would be perfectly fine with that. I'd call that an A-plus draft, just because that's two major needs filled right there.
That would be tremendous.
It would truly be fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think we can all agree, like, the one thing we don't want to have happen is the Patriots jumping up to get Lamar Jackson, or, you know, Rosen, you know, going or something like that to the Jets, or, and, like, having this division not be attainable for the Bills to win, because, you know, the Pats, you know, just continue where they left off with once Brady retires, or the Jets find their guy. I think I'll be watching the Bills, obviously, first, but I am so interested to see what the Jets and the Patriots do in the division, and the Dolphins for that matter too. So I think that's what makes Thursday even more interesting, is watching, you know, the competition around the league. We're gonna jump to round two. Well, I have no picks in round two.
You traded all your picks.
I traded all my picks in Denver. So I'm gonna take a break, and if you guys want to take over, go ahead.
All right, sounds good. Round two, I have the Bills filling their massive hole at wide receiver. They desperately need to help at wide receiver. So I have them filling the hole with my wide receiver one, Anthony Miller out of Memphis. He is just an incredible player. He just on tape, I was watching Riley Ferguson tape because I was doing some late-round QB scouting, and just Anthony Miller just jumps out. Or watching Shaquem Griffin tape, Anthony Miller jumps out when they play Memphis. It's just, this guy just jumps out in every game that he's in. And he put up video game-like numbers last year at Memphis, over 1,400 yards, nearly 96 catches. This guy can do it all. He's an incredible deep threat. He's not the biggest guy, but he's an outside threat. Can play in the slot as well, and he had the most yards off of screen passes last year. He's fantastic. Wherever McDermott wants to put him, if they want to put him on the outside and let Zay slide inside, or if they want to develop him along as a slot receiver, Miller can truly succeed anywhere, and I think that he would be a steal at pick number 56.
Yeah, I like Miller a lot too, but I'm kind of almost concerned that he's not even going to be there, though. I think that he can do a lot, and I've really liked him as well. I instead went with DJ Chark from LSU, just based on, I think he's more likely to be there. I have the Bills at 53. Kyle, did you trade away 53 in your mock?
I did. Okay. That's a Broncos pick now.
Broncos pick. Well, instead of the Broncos getting Chark, I have the Bills getting Chark. And they just, the only thing to really add to your assessment of the wide receiver group is they need some guys with speed. And that's, I doubled up. I'm sure we'll get later on in the draft, depending on how deep we get here. The Bills need speed in the outside, which is kind of interesting, because it seems like for the longest time the Bills needed size. They needed that red zone threat. And now they have Zay Jones isn't the smallest guy either. He's about 6'2", 6'3". And obviously, Kelvin Benjamin's a big boy at about 6'5". So they need speed, and Chark or Miller would really fit that bill.
Yeah, I agree. I love Miller, but I think he's going to be off the board. I think there's enough of a swell of information that, you know, love for Miller right now that he might be going a little earlier in the second round than 53. So I also chose Chark as well, just because I could see him opposite Benjamin. You move Zay Jones inside, and honestly, I think Zay Jones is going to be, I mean, he has nowhere to go but up based from last year, but I think him in the slot exclusively is going to help him out immensely. So I think Chark just stretching the field will be tremendous for A.J. McCarron or Peterman or whoever ends up being our quarterback. I think it's something we sorely miss.
Yeah, and the thing with LSU receivers is that they always tend to do better in the NFL, just because LSU quarterback play has been shoddy for a while now. So yeah, I mean, if Chark's there, if he's their guy in the second round, he does fit the bill of the speed receiver that they desperately need, because right now it's just, they have no speed at receiver. They really have doubled down on size, and they need to add some speed here in this draft, just because, like I said, they have no speed there. So, as Nick brought up, I don't have the second round pick. I traded that away. And Jeremy, you don't have it either. But Justin and Nick, you guys do have the second round pick. Justin, who do you have the Bills going with at pick number 56?
56, I have them go with Ragno, the center from Arkansas. I think it's a pretty good value pick right around here. I feel like he's going to go toward the end of the second round, early third round. And based on what I read from PFF about Pro Football Focus about Russell Bodine, I feel like this might be a good spot to take a guy who can really be your core guy in the middle of your offensive line. And Bodine just doesn't seem to be that long-term guy at all, and I feel like Ragno can really replace Eric Wood at a high level, and it'd be solid for us. We need a little bit of an upgrade in the interior, and I think we'll get it from the Arkansas center.
Yeah, center and just offensive line in general is really a need after Incognito and Wood's retirements. I could see them going interior offensive line in the second round. I think that I don't know if they prioritize it that highly, but again, the signing of Russell Bodine, I mean,
I'm not confident.
Yeah, I don't see them saying, okay, well, we're not going to draft a center in the second round because we've got Russell Bodine. I don't see that being the scenario here. And I think you only got a 2-year deal anyway, so that's, I don't think that they're overly confident in him. So yeah, definitely an interior lineman in the second round is a possibility. Nick, who do you have them going with?
Yeah, since I have the Bills still at 56 here, it's a pretty good. My back-to-back picks here are pretty good transition ones. I have a linebacker Malik Jefferson from Texas. Just very athletic, very versatile linebacker, which, I mean, you heard it once, you heard it almost a million times with Sean McDermott. That's the kind of linebacker he likes. I mean, he seems to fit the bill. I haven't heard too much connection. Well, you know, I don't think we've gotten all 30 pre-draft visits reported on or anything like that, but I can see Malik Jefferson being a guy on the Bills' radar just for his athleticism and his speed. It's kind of like just something, you know, perfect for Sean McDermott. And then just to even continue on with my picks here, number 65, as Justin was saying there, I got Frank Ragnow, and I think that he's a perfect fit for the Bills just because him, Ryan Groy, or Russell Bodine, all three of those guys have experience playing center and guard. I think that it's going to make that interior offensive line a little bit more competitive, and hopefully by doing that, with pick 65, if Ragnow falls there, that could make a really interesting training camp in the interior of the offensive line. But I figure that'd be a good transition back to you, Kyle. I know you have Jefferson as well.
Yeah, perhaps ironically, I have
nice.
At 65, I have Malik Jefferson.
Copycats.
Yeah. I tweeted my mock before you guys did yours, so you all copied, every single one of you. But, yeah, as you said, Malik Jefferson, an incredibly athletic linebacker. Maybe not a middle linebacker yet, but he could play Sam or Will. And as you said, he's the athletic linebacker that McDermott values. He loves athleticism and especially versatility at linebacker. So just a guy that can truly slot in and play really anywhere you ask him to. That's something that McDermott really likes at linebacker, and Jefferson could definitely do that.
Yeah, I think two guys, just to piggyback off the Frank Ragnow pick, if he can fall that far, I think that's an awesome value pick later in the second round. I think I saw today that he might be sneaking into the first round, so if he falls that far, I think the Bills would definitely jump on him. Yeah.
Third to maybe fourth round I've seen with him. He is like all over the place. You can't find a solid
area
for him. So
yeah, that's what's weird about centers this year especially is, I mean, they're being mocked all over the place. Ragnow I've seen mocked in the first. I've seen him mocked in the fourth. Same with Billy Price. Just it's just so weird because it really all offensive linemen this year is outside of McGlinchey and Quentin Nelson. They're being mocked all over the place. So perhaps you'll see some weird offensive linemen that you haven't really heard of taken in the first or second rounds, just because it's really anybody's guess at this point as to where the top O linemen are going to go. But speaking of offensive linemen, I have the Bills taking Mason Cole out of Michigan and at pick number 96. Again, as I said before, they need help in the interior of the offensive line. Cole has experience at both guard and center. Don't necessarily think he'll start in his rookie year, but in the third round, if you can get a guy who could fill in at either guard or center if someone goes down, I'll take that in the third round.
Good pick.
I agree. I've got nothing crazy to add. I like it.
You guys don't have hot Mason Cole takes?
Yeah. No.
Well, I remember at the beginning of the whole draft process when we were looking at linemen in July and August, Mason Cole was a guy mentioned as a first-round guy who's kind of slid, but, I mean, once again, it's offensive linemen. You find a solid guy to fit your scheme, and Mason Cole could do that if he is available.
Plug-and-play offensive linemen, as long as they can get the job done. You can find a guy who's durable and available like McDermott would want. It's a good pick. Good job, Kyle.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, so Jeremy, you have the team going linebacker in round three. Then you have him going wide receiver. You have him taking my boy. You have him falling to the third round.
I know. I guess I don't know too much more about Anthony Miller as you guys do. Obviously, if he's in the third round, it seems like he's going to go higher than that. So, but I do like his speed. Ran 4.46, but 4.52 somewhere in there on his pro day and kind of wild scouts. I think we all know that the Bills obviously need some speed on the outside. So, and he was in for a visit with the Bills. So, you think there's mutual interest there with him? That's why I have him being selected. And then, I have Josie Jewell, inside linebacker of Iowa. Also versatile, can play inside or outside. I think he'll be able to fulfill both spots for McDermott, and he can kind of find his way. But we also know that they need linebacker help. So the rest of my draft is just kind of filling those needs that we all see glaring on the roster. Jewell is just a really hard-nosed player. He can stop the run. He's okay in pass coverage, but he's more of that thumper that you need probably in the middle. So I think that at 65, right at the top of round three, would be a good pick for them. And like I said, Anthony Miller, need that speed on the outside. I have him at 96.
Absolutely. And now D'Lo and Nick, I do believe you guys have the same third-round pick here. I think you both mocked Fred Warner. What's the deal with this guy?
Well, Fred Warner is actually interesting because I think did Justin, did you have him? You had him a little bit later, didn't you?
I have him at 96.
Oh, do you have a 96? I saw someone else on Bill's wire. Well, I'll track it down here. As I'm pretty late. He's a guy kind of like I mentioned before, the rag now, who's been just like mocked everywhere. He's been all over the place. And they had him in again for a visit. So I think that's something that, you've heard throughout the entire pre-draft process, that Bean and McDermott really like to get to know these guys. And I think the appealing thing is that a lot of the discussion around him is kind of like, hey, he is a linebacker, good in pass coverage, and that just reminds me of Matt Milano. Bam, right there, I think he fits what McDermott would like in a linebacker.
Yeah, I feel like he's he's going to take Lamar Alexander's job, Lorenzo Alexander's job in 2019. I feel like that's going to be the next step. Fred Warner's a guy that I've read a little bit about, and he seems to be kind of like a under-the-radar type of player from BYU. But it seems like from watching him on film, from reading what some scouts have said, he's very versatile. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's he can get after the quarterback a little bit. He's not exclusively a pass rusher, but he has the flexibility to play in multiple schemes in multiple areas. So I think he would fit in really well with the Bills, and I think a third-round value would be awesome because, Alexander might not be a three-down guy anymore. He wasn't really last year, but, between Warner and Alexander, and you think about Matt Milano on the other side, maybe we can get a little bit more flexibility in our linebacking core because we're still longing for that big-time linebacker. But if we're able to rotate and have guys who have specialized roles and do well in those, I think we could see a little bit of an improvement from that unit from 2017.
Warner must be a little older too if he went to BYU, so right? He's probably
he's more
mature. Is he a senior?
He's a senior, November 96 birthday, so.
Okay. Yeah. He'd be a good fit, too. I thought about mocking him as well because, yeah, he had that visit with the Bills. Probably a decent special teams player, too. Mm-hmm. Throw him in right away on special teams. And, yeah, you can't learn from anyone better than Lorenzo on special teams. So that'd be a good pick that you guys, Justin and Nick, had with Warner. Makes sense.
I like it.
And the thing is, you know, you hear so much about the modern linebacker nowadays with the almost safety hybrids coming in. Fred Warner is a literal safety hybrid.
Yeah.
So he truly does fit that so-called modern linebacker mold. He's 6'3", 236 pounds. He has good size. And if he has the athleticism of a safety, yeah, I want that. I want that in my linebacker group. Athleticism is something that the Bills really lacked at linebacker last year. Matt Milano was really the only guy who stood out in that regard. Ramon Humber, Lorenzo Alexander, Preston Brown didn't really perform all that well. I hate to say it, but they were underwhelming. Preston Brown really struggled in coverage. He's no longer with the team, but they do need to get more athletic at linebacker, which we all have them doing in this draft, which is good to see. And then in round four, I have the team going with a player that, I'll be completely honest, I did not hear of. I've never heard of this player before today. But his name's Jalen Samuels out of North Carolina State. He's a running back, tight end, wide receiver hybrid. I mean, that's just...
Is that what you call, like, athlete in college? Yeah.
Yes.
When they're like, yes. It's like the ATH.
Yes, it's a... the Jaguars tried to get away with calling Denard Robinson an offensive weapon a few years ago. So that's what we'll call Jalen Samuels. He's just an offensive weapon. He's 6'5", so he's got the size of a tight end or a wideout. But he rushed for 403 yards last year. Well, that's not groundbreaking stats or anything. But he also caught 76 passes for 597 yards. So he was a solid contributor in North Carolina State's offense. So where they would use him here, I don't know. Do they want to have him as a power back behind Shady? They could do that. Do they want to have him as a depth tight end? They could do that. Or they could have him as depth as receiver. You can really plug Samuels in anywhere. And in round four, if you're getting a player that can realistically play three positions and be a contributor in the offense right away, I think that's a great value there.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him, but you said right there, he is a little extremely versatile, I guess we could call him. A little extreme versatility. That sounds very processy to me.
So yeah, I'm just checking a NFL player comparison of Samuels, and it came up as Aaron Hernandez.
Oh,
God. Oof.
Ooh. just a
collective.
Hey. Ooh.
on the field. But I realized, I thought he was a little guy. I didn't think he was 6'5". I thought he was like a...
Like
6-footer.
Scat back. Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought it was like a 5'11", 6-foot guy who, you know, just trying to figure out a role. If he's 6'5", he's playing anywhere. But I thought he was like a, like I said, just barely tipping 6 feet. And he, you know, if he's a little smaller like that, it makes it a little challenging to be that tight end role. Or I think it's going to be interesting with a versatile player like him. It's just what team's going to find him and put him in the best situation. I mean, if he finds a great situation and they utilize his skills wisely, teams are going to get a really great value player on day three.
Guys, I'll be honest. I misread. He's only 6 foot.
Okay. All right. I got a little worried for a second, and I was like, oh, my God, did I really miss this one?
But still, he
plays three positions.
Versatility.
I'm drafting him no matter what. He could be 5'4".
Hey, offensive, if he can do it all, weapon. Offensive weapon in the fourth round, I'll take
do it.
I'll take it. I just fixed the article. Thank you, guys.
So that,
oh, no.
Throwing this for off the rails.
This is what happens on day three of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure teams have made mistakes on day three of the draft because they read 6 foot as 6'5". I'm sure it happens all the time.
It's okay. The Bills have made mistakes in the first round with John McCargo, so it's fine.
Exactly. It's totally fine. Honest mistakes happen here. But I don't think you guys made honest mistakes in your fourth rounds. D'Lo, fourth round, Duke Dawson. Tell me about it.
I like Duke Dawson. I think he's going to be... He was a good player at Florida. I think he's about 5'10". He's a little undersized, but from what I saw of him, he was a pretty decent tackler. He was, you know, balanced defender, was able to support the run fairly well. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but I think he would match up well in the slot this year, and then he might be the guy who takes over for Vontae Davis in 2019, depending on how he grows and develops. I know the Bills have brought him in as well, and I think he had something. He had a bunch of interceptions last year. I think he had 6 on his career, and he's been fairly productive during his time in Florida. So I think that would be a really great spot. I mean, we love drafting cornerbacks and athletic guys later in the draft, so I think this would be a great value for Buffalo right now. And because we really need a cornerback, at least in my draft, that would fit really well at that spot in the fourth round.
Yeah, and I think the Gators last few years, obviously the program has been down, but their DBs and their defense in general have produced some really solid solid players in the NFL. The safety went to the Falcons a few years ago. He's really solidified their back end. You know, they're kind of DBU after LSU. I think they produce some good DBs. They're coached well. I think they make a good player for the Bills.
Yeah, cornerback is an interesting position this year because a lot of mocks, a lot of national mainstream mocks, they have the team going with a cornerback at 22. Whether it be Mike Hughes, like you've had, Jeremy, or I've seen Denzel Ward even at 12, or Jaire Alexander. But I don't necessarily think that they're going to take a cornerback in the first round, or even necessarily in the early portion of the draft, just because of Vontae Davis and Phillip Gaines, like I referred to earlier. They're filling their holes with stopgaps. They got Davis on a 1-year deal and Gaines to a 1 or 2 year deal. I can't remember, but that's your other starting cornerback and your nickel cornerback right there. And I think they will further fill those holes next year. So I don't necessarily think that a high cornerback is on their radar, or a highly ranked quarterback is on their radar, but a late round cornerback I could definitely see. And Duke Dawson, would definitely be a solid pick. Now, Jeremy, you have them going offense in round 4. Or no, you have them going defense in round 4. You have them going defensive end.
Yeah, I do. I have them going to South Florida to pick up Chad Thomas, who is a really powerful, fast, off-the-edge defensive end. I know the Bills really value those DNs, and getting them kind of squared away. We have a lot of them really on the roster. I know that Chad was in for a visit, kind of in the same breath as Rosen, in a way, where he likes to do things outside of football. Not sure if that's going to hurt or help him in this draft, but really talented musician. He said he wants to win the Grammys as well as play on Sundays. I thought that was pretty interesting. Really talented guy outside of football, but he's, as a football player, can get off the edge, but he really sets the edge. Powerful guy, and I think he's the fastest guy out of the 3 Miami Hurricane defensive linemen that the Bills all hosted. So I think they'll go with more of the speed guy, like I said. And in round 4, he'd be a pretty good value at 121. So
yeah, I don't know all that much about Thomas, to be honest. But if there is a possibility that we get a Grammy-winning rendition of the Shout song, I'm all in. I'll take that in the first round, to be honest. Now, Nick, fourth round, you have them having 2 picks. You have them going with Duke Dawson, as Justin did, and then R.J. McIntosh. Have them going to Miami as well.
Yeah, I have the 2 picks due to that trade with the Colts. I think the Bills would like their, as I mentioned before, getting their odds on their hands on another mid-round pick. I tend to agree with pretty much what we were talking about, Duke Dawson, before. I think that they're not really worrying. I think you said it, Kyle, they're not really going to worry about replacing Davis until next year. I think Dawson's a guy, he can fit pretty, he can slot right into the slot corner spot. give some competition with Gaines there. Leonard Johnson is you know, good as gone at this point, who held that last year. Then McIntosh, the guy that they did have, they did meet with. I can't remember they, in what capacity, if he was in or whatnot. They definitely met with him pre-draft. And I think that defensive tackle is some reports that he could go to defensive end too, but I think that the Bills definitely are going to want to get their potential. While I said they're not going to worry about replacing Davis, I think they could worry about replacing Kyle Williams, and I think the value is there to have a guy come in under Kyle and learn under a guy like Kyle, respected just throughout the entire NFL at this point in his career. And I just really don't think we saw a whole hell of a lot good coming from Adolphus Washington last year. So we can I think slot maybe at 121 here. I have McIntosh maybe being the heir to Kyle Williams.
Yeah, that'd definitely be great. All solid value picks here in the fourth round. And just because we're approaching the 15-minute mark of the podcast here, we're going to just attempt to speed this up. We're just going to give our fifth and sixth round picks back-to-back just because they're fifth and sixth round picks. These picks will probably be announced by Thurman Thomas at Niagara Falls. So I have Thurman announcing the team's fifth round pick to Gray Scales out of Indiana. As we brought up earlier, an athletic linebacker, has experience in the middle. Honestly, probably would be the favorite to win that starting middle linebacker job, even though he's a rookie. That just because Julian Stanford and Tanner Vallejo are the team's only the only people on the depth chart at middle linebacker. Scales comes in with experience at middle linebacker, and he's been extremely productive at Indiana. One of the underrated linebackers in this year's draft, so I think he'd be a great pick at pick 166. And then in the sixth round, I have the team going corner. I have them taking Western Michigan's Darius Phillips, who they watched at the Broncos Pro Day earlier this offseason. He was a solid defender throughout his career, but where he really stood out was on special teams, one of the best returners in the country. And the Bills need a returner. After letting Brandon Tate go, they let Micah Hyde do some returning last year, but I don't necessarily know if I want my Pro Bowl safety returning punts. So bring in a returner with some upside as a defender in round six. I think that'd be a great move for them. Now, Nick, who do you have them taking in the fifth and sixth rounds?
Fifth round, I have Jared Jones-Smith, who's listed as a tackle from Pittsburgh, but he's kind of a guy that just reading up on him, looking up on him from what I can tell. Maybe a potential right tackle in the future, or maybe he's kind of a project at this point, and that's kind of how I would prefer my team to go when it gets past the fifth round, sixth round, is get a guy who can maybe develop something good. I mean, we even saw some positive Shantrell Henderson at certain points. Or Stevie Johnson would probably be the best seventh round team to screen. I don't know, with too many other seventh round picks that were number one receivers. And then in the sixth round, I actually, speaking of receivers, I have Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Don't know a ton about him, but from what I do know, because they had him on a visit, or they worked him out, excuse me, USF wide receiver. Damn, that boy can fly. He ran a 4.7. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned when I talked about DJ Chark and Anthony Miller and everyone else, they need guys who can fly, and 4.37 is flying on the ground about. So, yeah.
Yes, and unlike Jalen Samuels, Marquez Valdez-Scantling is 6'4". Not quite 6'5", but he is 6'4", so he's tall. Which is, you know, just the size and speed receiver. If you can get a guy with the upside of Valdez-Scantling in the sixth round, that's a steal. I totally agree there. Jeremy, who do you have them taking at the end of the draft?
Yeah, so let's see. Round five at 166. I've got the Bills going to Indiana where you went, Kyle. Except I have them going on the offensive side of the ball with Ian Thomas, the tight end. I know he was in with a visit, and I think, you know, I watched a little bit of him play, and he's just a powerful blocker, inline tight end blocker who has some upside on in the receiving game, but not necessarily his forte. But I could see him learning a little bit with the guys on the roster, and you have Charles Clay, you have Nick O'Leary, but after that, it's kind of thin at that position, so you can bring a young guy in to learn and see if he can develop. He can maybe get in on some short yardage and some open some holes for Shady. And then in the sixth round, I've got them going with Oklahoma State safety Trey Flowers, immediate special teams player. I think in the later rounds like this, you're just looking for guys who can step in on special teams right away and then add some depth. I think at safety, the Bills could use a little bit more depth there. And Flowers is a great tackler. He comes up and runs support, and he makes some spectacular plays against the run, and that's what you want from your safety position, especially in this defense that they're trying to implement. He can kind of move around, play in the slot, and like I said, come up and make tackles behind the line of scrimmage. So I have Trey Flowers. And he was also, I think, in for a visit, or at least the Bills worked him out. So there's some interest there on both sides. So that's how I kind of rounded out my mock.
Mm-hmm. I remember that the Bills, they actually met with Flowers at the East-West game, which is an article that D'Lo wrote up. And speaking of D'Lo, fifth and sixth round picks, what's up?
All right, fifth round, I'm actually taking Josie Jewell. I'm seeing him fall to the fifth only because he doesn't have really great range. He's not going to be a guy who's going to be a three-down linebacker. He's a pretty good tackler, but looking at him on film, once he gets outside of the tackle box, he's not tracking anybody down. So, but he could be very effective in helping limit opposing run games. So Josie Jewell was my pick in the fifth round. I picked him over Dorian O'Daniel as well, just because of his ability to play inside. And then the sixth round, I went Ryan Izzo from Florida State, tight end. He's a pretty solid prospect for a sixth round pick. He's not going to have anything flashy about him. He'll make some catches, but he does all the dirty work well, blocking. He can play on special teams as well. So I think that would be good. You know, the Bills seemed reluctant to use Logan Thomas last year, and I think if they wanted somebody a little more, you know, as a third tight end to be more of a blocking tight end, then Ryan Izzo would fit the bill.
So that'll wrap up our mock draft discussion here. And I think we're all pretty much in agreement, not necessarily on the players who the Bills should take, but just how they should attack the draft as a whole, with getting your quarterback early and then building around him later in the draft, filling your other holes, especially wide receiver, offensive line, and linebacker. We all have them addressing those positions at some point in the draft, which I like all of these drafts. I think these are all pretty solid drafts, and I'd be happy with every single one of them. And before we get out of here, we do have a Twitter question. Again, if you want to ask us questions, you can ask us questions at any time throughout the week. We'll get them during the weekly podcast. Again, tweet at us at the Bills Wire. This question is from Nick at nschneider72. He asks, what's the drop off from Rosen/Darnold to a Rudolph Jackson or a Laletta/Falk? Pros and cons of all the latter picks. Nick, I'll let you take this. What is the drop off from, we'll just ask the top quarterbacks to like a mid level first round to a day two or day three prospect?
Oh, that's kind of tough. I mean, just with these quarterbacks, you see so many different variables. The offensive system, I mean, that's probably the biggest one. I think you could hit on someone like Rosen, or you could hit on someone like Rudolph if he fits into your system. I think it just depends on really giving a political answer here, what kind of haul you give up. I think depending on if you're giving up maybe, they're saying that these mid-round picks are probably pretty valuable this year. I think I've seen maybe where the Bills' second-round pick is at 22 to maybe 50. They're all kind of valued the same. So if you're giving up multiple of those picks, well, you've got to add that stock into maybe trading up and getting Rosen. So really, for me, it depends on the haul that the Bills are getting. I know it's kind of a political answer there, guys, but in terms of talent, I mean, if the Bills stay at 22 and they take Mason Rudolph, I'm actually not too mad about that. Just seeing if they're keeping a lot of their mid-round picks and are going to be able to address a lot of holes. I've kind of been low-key a little bit of a Mason Rudolph guy. I think he has a nice deep ball and that sort of thing. I think the knock on Lamar Jackson, I know you've heard a lot of silly comparisons to Tyrod Taylor, but I think if they wanted to keep an athletic quarterback like that, they probably could have kept Taylor and maybe rolled the dice extending him and that sort of thing, because he did lead the team to the playoff last year. So that's, I don't think they're going to be in on Lamar Jackson, but Rudolph, I don't think he has, I think he, of the mid to late first round quarterbacks, I mean, he's my favorite. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm not incredibly high on Rudolph. I think that there's just, I mean, his claim to fame is his incredible deep ball, but just other than that, I think that he's average. So if a team is willing to be like, okay, well, there's a trait we can focus on, we'll just try to develop the rest. I mean, that's fine, but with to answer the question about the drop-off, I think there is a considerable drop-off from a Darnold or a Rosen to even a Rudolph, just because, I mean, just looking at them, Darnold appears to be the complete package. I don't know if everything's there yet. I don't know if he's complete. He's obviously not completely developed. I don't know if he's pieced everything together, but hypothetically, he could be a franchise quarterback. Same with the Josh Allen. I don't think that he's as far along in his development as Darnold, but hypothetically, Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. On paper, Josh Allen is a franchise quarterback. On paper, Baker Mayfield isn't necessarily a franchise quarterback, but he just does everything well. Just watching his tape, he could just make plays that you're like, oh, how did he do that? How did this 6-foot quarterback get out of that scenario? How did he find an open guy? How did he see over his offensive line? It's just, he's just incredible. Same with Josh Rosen. He can just make passes that some NFL quarterbacks can't make. The top four quarterbacks are either very good or their ceiling is very high. A Mason Rudolph, I don't think that he starts year one, and I don't know if his ceiling's necessarily that high. Lamar Jackson, that's all just, again, I think he's very talented, but that'll come down to if a team is willing to take a shot on him or not. And then in the day two, day three, you're getting into just good fundamental guys, just guys who are smart, don't necessarily have arm strength. I don't think you take one of those guys just banking on them being the franchise guy, unless you're talking about Riley Ferguson out of Memphis, who is very good. One of my favorite quarterbacks in this year's draft. So what do you guys think? Justin, what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree with a lot of the points. I mean, the thing with the guy, so the top guys are going to be the top guys. They have the highest ceiling. They have the best skill set. When we drop down to somebody like, let's say, Mason Rudolph or Kyle Lauletta, these are guys that are going to need a little time in projects. I'm not saying they can't be good quarterbacks. I think they have a chance to be very good quarterbacks. But I think if they're expected to be put on the field right away, they're going to struggle. And I think that's the one thing that we have to consider. Rosen and Mayfield and Darnold are probably quarterbacks who could step on the field day one, September, and hold their own. Whereas the second tier guys, you're going to want to give them some time. You're going to want to acclimate them to the speed of the game. And that's the bigger difference. Lauletta doesn't have the arm strength of others, but he has the intelligence. So there are some things that maybe offensive coordinators can definitely work with. Mason Rudolph, I think it'll be interesting to see when he has a completely different cast of receivers, because honestly, Oklahoma State had some really, really awesome talent around him who could go get balls for him. He did score fairly well in adjusted completion percentage by Pro Football Focus. So I think for him, it'll be more of giving him the time to acclimate to the game, and I think he has a chance of being a good quarterback.
Yeah, there's just like, even the last two, like I said, there's so many different variables here. I don't think we're going to come in day one and do anything spectacular. But, the cast around him, there's so many different offensive schemes here. What Kyle said, other than, I think, Darnold and Rosen, I think other than that, day one starters, I can even see Mayfield struggling a little bit when he starts his career, to be honest with you.
One of our writers, Rich Kowalski, wrote really good piece about how Big 12 quarterbacks kind of take a little time to get adjusted. So we're not saying that's going to happen to Mayfield, but it's just an interesting pattern that's developed over the last few drafts.
I think, too, people forget, because we want these prospects to play as soon as possible, that, they're still prospects, and that means that they still need to learn. And I think the difference between the guys, the quarterbacks at the top, and like a Lauletta or Luke Falk is honestly just talent and projection. How scouts project these guys to play with grown men who have been in the league for a few years and are the best of the best. And you have to kind of put a guy from a small school like Richmond into an NFL huddle and imagine how he would do. And put him up against a guy with a little bit better skill set and talent, like a Sam Darnold and a little bit better pedigree. And, you know, you can kind of make those distinctions and make those lines of demarcation to say, okay, Sam Darnold's clearly going to be better, or you at least project him to be better. And I think to answer the question we got from the Twitter person there who asked the question, that's really kind of the difference, I think. It's just the talent and how these scouts project what they can do at the next level.
All solid points. I want to thank all of you for joining me on this return episode of the Bills Wire podcast. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Bills Wire, on Facebook at the Bills Wire. Make sure that you subscribe and rate and review on iTunes. So yeah, again, thank you guys for joining me. Justin, where can people find you on Twitter?
Well, first, I gotta apologize to Tyrod Taylor. I didn't throw over the middle very well, so I gotta fix that from an hour ago. You can follow me at Jaden Jaro on Twitter, and it'll be great to converse with you via the interweb.
Jeremy, where can people find you?
Yeah, you guys can also find me on Twitter. It's Jeremy, and then my last name is pronounced, as you did a great job, Kyle, with that.
Thank you.
The J in my last name is silent, so J-U-H-A-S-Z, and at Jeremy Uhaz on Twitter.
And Nick on Twitter, where?
Nick _ W-O, J as in Jack Eichel is a bust, T-O.
Oh, wait.
Oh, boy.
How are you going to bring this up at the hour mark
of
a concluding podcast?
Gotta subscribe to us, everyone, and see how this is going to play out.
Oh, my God. You can find me on Twitter tweeting at Nick about that comment, at Kyle Selegi. Again, thank you for listening, and as always, go Bills.